Good morning. Good morning. There are many purposes to this year. I don't think I myself is going to be able to tell you what the purposes of this year are until we have reached the end. But first of all, it is to make clear what Achashverosh is all about. We always are left with this impression that evil, criminal, cruel, that's Haman. Achashverosh is a tipsy sort of fellow, drinks a little bit too much, sits on his throne with his crown slightly askew. I don't know if I ever used that word before, but you get the picture. He's really a fool, and he's easily influenced. You can talk him into all sorts of things. Along comes Haman and gives him 10,000 shekels of silver, and he's ready to destroy an entire people in all of his 127 states. That's an erroneous, absolutely erroneous way to look at Achashverosh. So we're going to have to correct that impression. Furthermore, we're going to talk about a halacha. The halacha is the following. There are 2 days of Purim. There's the 14th for all cities, open cities, and then for cities that have walls around them from the days of Joshua bin Nun, they have Purim on the 15th day. Because in fact the original story was the Jews had the right to stand up and defend themselves throughout the realm on the 13th day, and they rested on the 14th. In Shushan, permission was given to fight for another day, and they rested on the 15th. So throughout history we have 2 days. Of course, you most probably have already heard and will hear enough about the fact that in Yerushalayim we're machmer, so there are times at which we expand our 1 day into 3 days, and this year is going to be a 3 day Purim, what's called the Purim Meshulash. And I got a call yesterday about speaking in New York for some significant gathering on Sunday, Shushan Purim, and I said, not a chance in the world will I not be in Yerushalayim for Purim. It won't work. It's not going to be. So they're making arrangements to tape my message, video it, and have it. I'm going to be at the Gesundheit. We're all going to be here in Yerushalayim. What happens, in fact, during the 3 day Purim is that on each day, Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday, we perform two aspects of Purim. On Friday, we hear the reading of the Megillah Thursday night and Friday. And we also are supposed to give Matanos Lavyonim, the gifts to the poor, on Friday. Shabbos will be the Torah reading of Purim, and all of the tefillot and the meals we say Al HaNisim. You don't say Al HaNisim on Friday, you don't say Al HaNisim on Sunday, you say Al HaNisim on Shabbos. So there, let's review. On Friday, Thursday night and Friday, the reading of the Megillah like everybody else. Everybody reads and hears the reading of the Megillah Thursday night and Friday morning. And then we also give gifts to the poor, because the Gemara says gifts to the poor are related to the reading of the Megillah, that the eyes of the poor look for reading of the Megillah at which they receive their gifts. On Shabbos, which is the 15th, and we can't read the Megillah because our rabbis prohibited the reading of the Megillah on Shabbos in case somebody may by error carry it in public domain, so we don't read it on Shabbos, but it is the 15th, so the reading of the Torah, there's a Torah reading for Purim that we read on Shabbos. By the way, what's going to be very fascinating is that it's one of the unusual cases where the Maftar and the Haftorah of Shabbos Zohar, the Shabbos before, and the Maftar and the Haftorah in Yerushalayim, both weeks it's the same thing. What do you read on Purim? You read at the end of Parshat Bishalach, Vayavo Amalek, and Amalek came. What's the Haftorah that you read? The story of Shaul, who is commanded by Shmuel to destroy Amalek. What does the whole world read on Parshat Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim? The end of Parshat. No, there they read, not the end of Parshat, they read Parshat Shoftim, or is it Kitetze? Zohar is Hashosol Chamolim, but the Haftorah is the Haftorah is the same. The Haftorah is the same. The Haftorah is the Haftorah of Shaul. So on Shabbos, there are going to be two aspects of Purim, which is the reading of the Torah and Al Hanisim in davening and in benching. And on Sunday, we make the Sudas Purim, the Suda, and what's related to the Suda is Mishloach Manos Ish Rereyu Seni. Shaloch Manos is on Sunday. So therefore, all right, but I want to get to something. The real significance of Shushan Purim. The real significance of Shushan Purim. And maybe one other halacha that I want to illuminate. The halacha is the following. Pruz ben yomo nikro pruz. If somebody from Yerushalayim is going to go to Tel Aviv, I don't know why they would, but if they do, somebody from Yerushalayim goes to Tel Aviv Thursday, no, it can't work on Thursday, it doesn't make any difference, on any other year, not this year. This year, everybody reads it at the same time. I mean, obviously, the problem, of course, is that I'm always thrilled every year when it's not a Purim Mishulosh, that while the rest of the world, they're all hungry, from the fast, yeah, and they have to come to the Megillah, and they get extremely upset with the kids who are banging Haman. You know, you ate today, I didn't eat. And it takes long and long, and mechalish until you break the fast. But over here, as the rest of the world is going to the reading of the Megillah, we sit down to have our post-fast meal over here, and those poor schnooks in the rest of the world have to be at the reading of the Megillah now hungry. We're going to join the rest of the world this year. We're going to listen to the reading of the Megillah hungry, and we're going to enjoy it. We're going to enjoy it too. But there is a halacha that says, if somebody from Yerushalayim goes the night of the 14th, Tel Aviv's Purim, and remains until the crack of dawn, then he has a din of a Tel Avivi, and he has to hear the Megillah, should have heard it at night, and has to hear it during the day, has to have a Sudas Purim. Somebody from Tel Aviv comes to Yerushalayim, and he remains over the night of the 15th until the crack of dawn of the 15th. Just having been here then, he already gets a halacha of a Yerushalmi, and he's chayiv in all the mitzvahs like a Yerushalmi. Now, usually in halacha, to become considered a member of a community with regard to obligations to the community, financial and tzedakah obligations, and when do you have to accept the customs of a particular community, usually it's 30 days. And there are even circumstances where you have to live in a place for 12 months before you're considered a member of that community. Here there's this unusual halacha that you're there at the crack of dawn. For that matter, you may have spent no more than half an hour. You arrive in Tel Aviv in the middle of the night, toward dawn. But at the crack of dawn, you are in Tel Aviv. You get a dinner at Tel Aviv. Well, what's the meaning behind this halacha? And then, of course, ultimately the Shir is going to talk about the contemporary significance of Purim. What an amazing Yom Tov. All right. It might also explain what's the significance of the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos and Matanos Levyonim. All right, let's begin. That's enough introduction. And number one, the Gemara in the Megillah says, Achashverosh, Omar Rav. They want to know what lies in a name. Achashverosh. So Rav said, there's something very significant about the name Achashverosh. Ochiv Shel Rosh. Achashverosh, Ochiv Shel Rosh. He is the brother of the head. Uben Gilo Shel Rosh. And he has the same character as the head. Now the Gemara explains, who's the head? Who is this head to whom we compare Achashverosh? Achav Shel Rosh, he was called brother of the head. Achav Shel Nebuchadnezzar HaRosho Shenikra Rosh. He was a brother, a kinsman to Achashverosh, not in the familial way, but in terms of their goals and objectives. He's a brother of Nebuchadnezzar HaRosho, who's called Rosh, the head. Where is Achashverosh called Rosh, the head? Shenemar, it says, Daniel interprets a dream for Achashverosh. Achashverosh saw an unusual kind of being in a dream, and it terrified him. And this being that he saw had a head that was made of gold. And he doesn't understand the meaning of the dream, and he's in a terrible state, and he calls together all of the wise men of his realm, and none of them know how to interpret it. And then Daniel tells him, Ant Huresho Didahavo, you, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold on that awesome looking being that you saw. And Achashverosh is also Ben Gilo Shel Rosh. He had the same character as Nebuchadnezzar. Hu Harag, Nebuchadnezzar was a killer, and Hu Bikesh La'arog. And Achashverosh wanted to be a killer. He wanted to destroy the Jewish people. Hu Hechariv, Hu Bikesh La'achariv. Nebuchadnezzar, in fact, destroyed Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Bet HaMikdash. And Achashverosh, Rotzo Lachriv. He wanted to destroy. Shenema, as it says, Umalchus Achashverosh Betchilat Malchuto Katvu Sitna Yoshe Yehudah Yerushalayim. As it is said, and during the reign of Achashverosh, at the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. These are psukim that appear in Sefer Nehemia, in Ezra, chapter 4. I'll tell you what's going on with it, because it's going to be very significant during the course of this year. Tzorei Yehuda u'Binyamin, the enemies of Yehuda and Binyamin, heard that the people of the exile are the Jews who have returned to Eretz Yisrael from the Babylonian exile. At the same time as all of this is taking place in Shushan, there have been events going on in Eretz Yisrael itself. The first wave of Olim had returned. Yerushalayim was in ruins, impoverished. It was open to attack from enemies all around, living right in Eretz Yisrael. And they hear that Jews are beginning to build the walls of the city and build the Bet HaMikdash. When they heard that, so Vayikshuel Zerubbabel, they came to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was from the house of David, and he returns with the exiles. And they came to Zerubbabel, and they said to him, "Let us build with you. Let's do it together, you and me." You know, a state for all of its citizens. Both of us. You know, we also want to serve the God of Israel. Let's build together, one for all, awful one. What a, you know, your wife should Yerushalayim just be yours. Yerushalayim is ours, yours, yours, ours. It's all the same. So they come with a proposal to Zerubbabel, Nivnei Imachem, let's build with you. Because just as you seek out your God, so do we. Vayom Alehem Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel and Yehoshua Kohen Gadol and all of the rest of the leaders of this weak, impoverished community. I think maybe the last time the Jews were able to speak with such forcefulness. And they said, Lo lochem velonu livnod bayit lelokeinu. The construction of a house to our God is not for you and us. Ki anachnu yachad, we alone. It's ours, it's our God, it's our temple mount. We are going to build La Hashem Elokei Yisrael, to the God of Israel, as He had commanded us. And so we've been told by Kodesh, Kodesh, king of Persia. Kodesh is the one who had given permission for Jews to return to Eretz Yisrael. And the very last words in Tanakh are that Kodesh tells the Jewish people, Mi bachem mi kol amo. Who is there amongst all of God's people? Vashem imo v'yal. Let God be with him. Go. You can go on Aliyah. You understand? The ruler of the world has told him you can go on Aliyah. And unfortunately only a relatively small group come. So here there have been the trickle of a return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Koresh. A little bit more of the history. There were three kings of Babel. The Babylonian Empire lasted for 70 years. There was Nebuchadnezzar, Evil Merodach, and Belshazzar. These are the three kings of Babylon. And the famous story of Belshazzar is that he made a party and he took out the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash and he began to drink and revel, and a mysterious hand begins to write. And he is terrified until Daniel, and he becomes even more terrified when Daniel tells him, the writing says, Minei, Minei, Tekel, Ufarsin, you have been measured and weighed, and you have been found wanting. And on that night, the Persians and the Medes who had invaded Babylon regrouped. They made another assault on the capital city of Babylon, conquered it, and killed Belshazzar. With that came to an end 70 years of the Babylonian dynasty that began with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a world conqueror. He was a world destroyer. He was an extremely cruel individual. After Belshazzar comes Koresh, Melech Paras. Yeshayahu had already said prophecy about Koresh, that God said, my servant Koresh is the one who's going to build my house. Ultimately, he didn't build the house, but he gave permission for Jews to return. But then, there were those who agitated against construction in Yerushalayim. Nothing new, by the way. Nothing ever changes. They were opposed to building any place in Yerushalayim. Certainly not the walls of the city, certainly not Har HaBayit, Har Choma, forget about it. And what happened was that Koresh, who had originally given permission, gave the order to halt the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. Halt the construction. We're going to see the position that is taken by Ahasuerus. The Gemara has already said that he wanted to destroy. And here in chapter 4 in Ezra, it says that the enemies of Yehuda and Binyamin sent letters to Ahasuerus. This is now in the time of Ahasuerus, had sent letters to him telling him, don't let them build that city, because they say that this city has been known throughout its history to be a rebellious city. they are going to cause you terrible trouble. They will be a threat to your entire kingdom. Your king over 127 realms, those Jews over there cannot be permitted to build Yerushalayim. And Achashverosh says, no construction. He refuses to permit any kind of construction. It may seem strange a bit that here is a king whose realm girdles half the globe. 127 states. And there are a few Yidalach over there in Yerushalayim that are desperately, desperately trying to eke out a living. And in his eyes, he sees this as the great threat to his kingdom. So I'm reminded of the words of Cicero, the Roman historian, who said, when Judea rebels, the Roman Empire quakes. Judea was the smallest part of the great Roman Empire. Major countries had fallen under Rome, and here was a Haifala Yidin, a few Yidalach over here in Eretz Yisrael. But when Judea rebelled, Cicero says, the Roman Empire quaked. There was something terrifying about these Jews. God, if we could only recover the ability to terrify everybody around us, and we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. All right. Okay. So here it is. In the fourth chapter of Ezra, you have the text of the whole letter that was sent. A hate letter of such proportions. It's the forerunner of the protocols of the elders of Zion. Yerushalayim, this destroyed Yerushalayim in ruins, in rubble, is depicted as a power that can overwhelm the whole world. So no construction of Yerushalayim. The Gemara goes on to say, Shmuel said, Shehushru Peneim Shel Yisrael B'yom Achashverosh, was called Achashverosh from the word Shachor. Es ist schwarz geworden in die Augen bei Klal Yisrael. It became black to them in the days of Achashverosh. He was called Achashverosh because in his time the faces of Jews became as black as the bottom of a pot that has been blackened by fire. Rabbi Yochanan says he was called Achashverosh Kol Shezochro Omar Ochle Rosh. Whoever remembers Achashverosh says they. It gets a headache. Just point that I want to make is to lay the groundwork for what's going to come in the rest of this year. Achashverosh is not a tipsy fellow. He's not a harmless oaf. He's not a drunk fool. A commoner does not rise to power over 127 states unless he has killed and killed and walked over millions of bodies until he arrives at the pinnacle of power. That's number one. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Shakol Nasu Roshim B'yomar. Rabbi Chanina says Achashverosh, from the word Rosh, poor, everybody became poor. The taxation that was imposed on people. Listen, here is a man who had to make parties for 180 days. Somebody had to pay for it. It was the man in the street that paid for it. Everybody came poor in his time. Hu Achashverosh, Vayhi Bimei Achashverosh, Hu Achashverosh, Hu Berisho, he was Berisho, he remained in his wicked ways, Mitchiloso Vatsofo, from beginning to end. Don't think that at the end of the Megillah he has become a benign and benevolent despot. Achashverosh is a Roshim Mitchilato Vatsofo. Just as it says about Esav, who Esav? Roshim Mitchiloso Vatsofo. Who Dosan Vaviram? Roshim from beginning to end. But Yosef, it also says who Yosef, and there the Gemara says, who Yosef bitzit koso, remained under all the trying circumstances in which he found himself, he remained a tzaddik. Alright. The next step in our understanding of the psychology of this man Ahasuerus, and here I found something. You know, I've been learning the Megillah for many, many years, and I found something yesterday that just how didn't I see it all these years? You know what it means? There's always a chiddush. The next one and two, or two and three, are Rashi's. It says in the Megillah the following. We know already the Tzara. We know the Tzara that there is a death sentence upon all the Jews throughout the world. Mordechai has already come to Esther. And he tells her, Esther, go to the king! Go to the king! She says, I can't go. Anybody who goes to the king who has not been invited specifically, Achaz Dosol HaMis, is killed. You can't go in without permission. Vanilani Kresi, and I have not been called to the king now for 30 days. And then Esther says, then Esther takes over and she says, I'm going to tell you what to do. Leich Knosses, Kol HaYehudim, go gather all the Jews together and Tzumu Olai, fast for me day and night for 3 days. Gamani V'Narosai, I and my girls, we will also fast. Ubechein, and in this manner, after having prayed and fasted for 3 days, Avo Al HaMelech, I'm going to come to the Melech HaShelo Kadat, even though it's against the law. And I'm going to be putting my life in my hand. I may very well come to the door of the throne room, and I will be run through and killed, and that will be the end. I'm ready to take the chance for Klal Yisrael. I'm ready to be my senefesh. So it says that she came on the third day of the fasting. She comes, and I'm reading from the Gilead. You don't have this. The king saw Esther standing in the courtyard. She found favor in his eyes. Vayoshet HaMelech Lester Shabbat Azov, he extended to her the golden scepter that was in his hand. She came, Esther came, and she touched the end of the scepter. Vayomalo HaMelech, and the king said to her, Maloch Esther Amalto Umna Bakashatech. You have to hear this well. Maloch Esther Amalto. What is with you, Esther Amalto? What is your request? Ad chatzi hamalchut, until half the kingdom, v'yinatein lach, and it will be given to you. You have to hear much more than the words. You know what you have to hear in the question of Achashverosh? Deep concern. He knows exactly what took place just now. He knows that she took her life in her hand. Why is she coming? And when she comes, he doesn't say, good morning, Esther. How you feeling? Haven't seen you in a while. Maloch, what's wrong? Maloch, Esther, Amalka, what's wrong, Esther? You have to hear the fear. Up until a half of the kingdom should be given to you. But, so Esther says, if it will be good in the eyes of the king, and if I had found favor in his eyes, Im al HaMelech Tov, if it's good to the king, Yavo HaMelech v'Haman Ayom el HaMishtah Asher Osisi Loi, let the king and Haman come today to the party that I made for him. Vayom HaMelech, so the king says, hurry! Watch what's going on in his mind. He wants to know why she risked her life. You know what she's doing now? She's delaying. He wants the answer. Why did you risk your life to come in to me now? So she says, let the king come with Haman to a party. So therefore he says, Maharu Haman, hurry and bring Haman to do what Esther wanted. And the king and Haman came to the party that Esther made. Vayomer HaMelech LeEsther B'Nishta HaYayin. The king says to Esther at the party, he's plotting. What is it that you ask? And it shall be given to you. And what is your request? Until half of the kingdom, and it will be done. He's waiting now for the answer. What does she want? Vatan has to listen to this. Listen to this. Imagine you're Ahasuerus. Zivet Ois. Zeppin de Nishomet. She's going to eat his heart out. Vatan Esther Vatoma. And Esther answered and said, Sheilati, my question, Ubakashati, and my request, Im Matzasi Chain Vienei HaMelech, if I have found favor in the eyes of the king, V'im Al HaMelech Tov, he's plotting, and if it's good to the king, Latet Et Sheilati, to give me what I've asked for, V'lasot Et Bakashati, and to do what I've requested, Yavo HaMelech V'homam, but the king and Haman come El Amishta, to the party, Asher Eser Lehem, that I will make for them, Umochar Eser Kedvar HaMelech, and tomorrow I will do what the king is saying. The man was probably chalish now. He fainted. It's unbelievable the tension that he is under. Remember, this is a man about whom there was already an attempted assassination by people closest to him. Now, of course, the Gemara explains that Esther doesn't have a clue what to do. She's stalling. She doesn't know yet. But there are all sorts of ideas going through her mind. One of them is the possibility of indeed giving her life in order to create in the mind of Ahasuerus this idea that maybe there is something going on between Esther and Haman. Invites him to a party today. Tomorrow he's the only one who is invited to a party. Yes. Something is going on that he is unaware of. Of course, then that night he's not going to sleep all night. Something is afoot and he doesn't know. It comes to the second party the next day, and he again asks her, Ma she'elateich, u'ma bakashateich, ad chatzi hamalchus v'teyas. Third time. There's going to be a fourth, and that's going to be very significant. But first, what does Abchatsi HaMalchus V'Teos mean? Rashi says, on your sheet, you can have anything you want, Esther, except for one thing. Abchatsi HaMalchus V'Teos. What is this Chatsi HaMalchus? Dovor Shehu Be'emtza U'Bechatsi HaMalchus, Rashi says. You cannot have that which is in the middle of my kingdom. Hu Beit HaMikdash. Don't ask me about building the Beit HaMikdash, and that includes building Yerushalayim, building the walls. Don't ask me about that. Shehitchilu livnoto bimei Korash, because they had already begun to build it in the days of Korash. The Chozarbo, as I told you, Korash had changed his mind. V'tzivo levatel hamalacha, and he commanded that they should desist and stop the work. V'achashverosh shomer achrav, Achashverosh, who rose to power after Korash, gamhu bitel hamalacha. He also stopped the work of construction in Yerushalayim. I know what you're wondering. Why should it even occur to him in his wildest dreams that Esther, whom he does not know to be Jewish, Do I know what's going on in your mind, huh? How am I doing? I'm doing alright? He doesn't know her to be Jewish. Why should it occur to him that she's coming to ask for the construction, to continue construction in Jerusalem? What's felt the mind that Goyish Kop? What does Esther have to do with Binyan Yerushalayim? See, here I have to tell you another story that becomes extremely significant in the understanding of the whole Megillah. The world and world leadership was concerned. I would say was frightened. I would say that at this point in time they were terrified of one person who was no longer alive. And that person was Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, the prophet Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah, 40 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, is walking the streets of Yerushalayim and telling them that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. 20 years before he says, oh, even before that he says, from the north is going to come an invader who is going to take you off into exile to the north. He even reaches the point where he says it's going to be Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, who's going to conquer this city, raise it to the ground, destroy the Beit HaMikdash, and take Jews off into exile. Yirmiyahu says, Bavel o Yuvol, they shall come to Bavel, v'shomo yiyu, and there they will be. At the time of Churban HaBayit, do you know what the whole world realizes? This Yirmiyahu was on the mark. Everything he said, and even the details of those who will die by the sword, those who will die from hunger, those who are going to die from pestilence, those who are going to be incarcerated, every detail of what Yirmiyahu said had been fulfilled. In the world, they have a great deal of respect for Yirmiyahu. Therefore, there was another prophecy of Yirmiyahu, that Golus Babel will last for 70 years. And after that 70 years, Jews are going to return and rebuild. That's what they're terrified of. They are afraid that this Jewish state is going to be rebuilt, and they're going to be a threat to the rest of the world. We know that Israel is a threat to the whole world. Anything that goes wrong in this world is because of Israel, you understand. And most probably the guy who wants to resolve the problem is a Russia called Ahmadinejad. He'll take care of all the world's problems. Mm-hmm. Oh, I said it with such kavana. Oh. They're terrified of the words of Yirmiyahu. There's a whole page in the Gemara where the Gemara says, before Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, took out the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash in order to drink from them, he calculated the end of the 70 years. You know what his problem was? He miscalculated. And the Gemara tells us, because of that, he was destroyed. That same night that he drank from the clay Beit HaMikdash. Achashverosh says, the Gemara tells us, Belshazzar made a calculation and he was wrong. I'm going to calculate it and I'm going to be right. He made another calculation. And therefore it says at the beginning of the Megillah, Bishnas Sholosh Lemolcho, in the third year of his reign, he made a party. Why? In the third year, Bayomim Ahen, in those days, Kesheves HaMelech HaChashverosh Al Kisei Malchusa Asher B'Shushan Abir, a second pasuk in the Megillah, as King HaChashverosh sits on his throne, which is in Shushan Abir, B'Shnas Sholosh L'molcho, he makes a party. What does it mean, Kesheves, as he's sitting? So the Gemara says, Shenit Yashva Da'ato, his mind was at ease, because he had calculated the 70 years, he came up with a different calculation, and nothing had happened in Yerushalayim. There were just poor Yidalach over there that were totally dependent on the United Babylonian appeal to keep them alive, and they couldn't even the city of Yerushalayim was without a wall. They were defenseless. It was a pitiful. And according to his calculation, the 70 years are up. Now he celebrates, and he celebrates in a big way. Not only does he take out the clay Beit HaMikdash, he comes marching into the party in the robes of the Kohen Gadol. The robes of the Kohen Gadol. Oh, what desecration of sanctity. And he also miscalculated. So you're going to ask, what are all the miscalculations? All you have to figure out is the 70 years. I mean, 70 years. If we haven't been able to figure out, if we were not able to figure out the 2,000 year Golus, can I fashtain? There are those who say we are now at the Schalte de Gula. There are those who see us as being at the darkest moment of Golus. We can't calculate, but 70 years, you couldn't figure out 70 years. So the Gemara explains that 70 years could have begun with the rise of Achashverosh. It could have been the first entry the rise of Nebuchadnezzar, the first entry of Nebuchadnezzar into Eretz Yisrael, the first wave taken into exile. Everybody was making calculations, and especially since Yirmiyahu had written two prophecies. One was Lemalot leBavel, to complete for Bavel 70 years, and then he also says Lemalot leChorvot Yerushalayim, to the destruction of Yerushalayim. The Gemara is, it's a pasuk in the ninth chapter of Daniel. Daniel says, "Vani binoti basvarim." I study the svarim. What did Yirmiyahu mean? Everybody wants to know what Yirmiyahu meant, because Yirmiyahu has proven that whatever he says comes true. By the way, do you know what was most exultant prophecy for the world, and the one that most probably terrifies Achashverosh more than anything else? He prophesied the destruction of Babel. But what a description of what will ultimately happen to Babel. The house of Nebuchadnezzar destroyed utterly. Ahasuerus is king now, because the Babylonian Empire crumbled like a deck of cards before Persia and Medes. Wow. So he wants to know. Esther doesn't have to be Jewish. You don't have to be Jewish to like Levi's bread, and you don't have to be Jewish to be concerned about what's happening in Yerushalayim. What's happening in Yerushalayim is concern for the whole world. It's a little community, not God forsaken, of course. It's a little community, but the whole world is concerned about what's happening in Yerushalayim. Until half the kingdom. Don't talk to me about Yerushalayim. Some Meshulach came from Yerushalayim and talked to you about the poverty of it. Forget it. I don't want to talk about Yerushalayim. What did I find? No, I'll save it for a few minutes. I'll take the Neshama out, you understand? I don't know how to do it. Huh? Well, you are not. But you're going to find out much quicker than Achashverosh did. Much quicker. There's another Rashi. And this other Rashi, very, very important. Aseres b'nei Haman. The 10 sons of Haman were hung. They were killed and then hung. Rashi says, Ra'isi b'seder olam, I saw in Seder olam, that's an ancient history of the Jewish people. Elu asora shekosu sitna Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. These 10 were the ones that wrote the hate letters against Yehuda of Yerushalayim. The sons of Haman, don't think that they are being hung because they were the sons of Haman. They are being hung because they were Vaizusa and Adlon and Seisa and all the rest of them. They were Rishoyim in their own right. They were the ones who wrote the letters of hatred against Eretz Yisrael, the protocols of the elders of Zion. They are the ones who wrote it. And they are the ones, therefore, who stopped the construction of Yerushalayim. Let anybody who tries to stop construction in Yerushalayim take note. They wrote the letters calling on Koresh and Achashverosh to stop and desist. As it says in Sefer Ezra, Uve Malchus Achashverosh, during the kingdom of Achashverosh, B'tchilas Malchus, at the beginning of his kingdom, Kosu Sitna, they wrote a letter of hatred against Yoshvei, Yehuda of Yerushalayim, those who live in Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Umahi HaSitna, what was the essence of their hate letter? Levatel Ha'olim and Hagolah B'nei Koresh, Shehitchilu Livnot at Habayit, to stop those who had made Aliyah from the exile in the days of Kodesh, and they had begun to build the Beit HaMikdash. V'hilshinu aleihem akutim v'echadilim. They said lashon hara about the Jews, that they are a rebellious bunch and that they are not loyal to the king. And Koresh stopped the construction. U'kishabes Koresh u'malach Achashverosh, when Koresh died and now Achashverosh becomes king, v'itnasei Haman, and Haman rose to power. Dog, Haman made sure Shaloyasku Otan Shabiru Shalayim did Binyan. Now, Haman, in other words, it's not the children take after the Tata. The Tata takes after the children. When he rises to power in the days of Achashverosh, he made certain that there would be no construction. And in the name of Achashverosh, they sent to the other side of the river, the other side of Mesopotamia, to the people living in Eretz Yisrael, don't let the Jews build. I had seen some years ago the first letter that was written in the days of Koresh. Who do you think delivered it to Koresh? The one who delivered it to Koresh was Haman. So we're talking about people who are deep, deep in Jewish hatred, and Jewish hatred expresses itself by prohibiting Jews from building in Eretz Israel. Remember that. Remember that. All right. There is a fourth time when the battle finally begins on the 13th of Adar. On the 14th, Ahasuerus tells Esther that 75,000 have been killed in all of the realm. Ma she'elateichu, ma bakashateichu, what is it that you want? Ode, what else do you want? Viteos, and it shall be done. And she says, let the Jews of Shushan be permitted another day. The fourth time it's said, and it doesn't say Ad Chatzi Hamalchus. Three times he said, what do you want, Esther? Ad Chatzi Hamalchus. The fourth time he doesn't. Why not? I never noticed the pasuk. I never noticed it. It's simple why. Because you know what's happened? A great deal has happened since the third time he said, everything has changed dramatically. He knows that Esther is Jewish. He knows that Mordechai is related to her. Haman has been killed. Mordechai Yehudi has risen to power. Jews in 127 realms are standing up and fighting. You know what he sees? Oy vey 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 vey. Yirmiyahu wasn't wrong. If Yirmiyahu says Jews are going to rise again, he's watching it before his very eyes. Do you know what he already realizes in this ninth chapter of the Megillah? Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. It's futile of him anymore to say Ad Chatzi Hamalchut, because it's going to be. And do you know when it's going to happen? It's going to happen after his death. Second side, Pasuk 6. Vayehi b'chodesh Nisan, in the month of Nisan, the 20th year of Tarchshachts Tahamelech, Yayin Lefanov, the butler was Nehemiah. Nehemiah brings wine to the king. Nehemiah brings wine to the king. I bring the wine and I gave it to the king, but I never looked bad or looked angry. And the king says to me, why do you look so bad? What's wrong? You're not sick. Why do you look sick? There's something bad going on in your heart. Something bad. And Nehemiah says he was very frightened. Who knows what the king is concerned about? So I said to the king, why shouldn't I feel bad? The city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins. Va'omal ha-melech, ha-melech la'olam yechiel, let the king, long live the king. Madua lo yeiro ufanai, why shouldn't I look bad? Asher ho'ir, the city, Beit Kivrot Avotai, where my fathers are buried. Chareva is destroyed. Ushareo uklu ba'esh, and all of her gates have been consumed by fire. Vayomali ha-melech. So the king said to him, what do you want to do? So I prayed to God, God, I'm being asked the question, I have to know what to answer. So he finally says, yes, I want to go to Yerushalayim. I want to go to Yerushalayim and I want to rebuild the city. And Duryodesh, who is the king, Vahashegel Yoshevet Etzel, the last part of Kayomali Hamelech, the king said to me, Vahashegel Yoshevet Etzel, the Shegel sits next to him. How long will you be gone and when will you return? I told him, and it was good in the eyes of the king, and he sent me to rebuild Yerushalayim. The Malbim says, Shegel. The word Shegel, some say it means a concubine, a mistress, a dog. Chazal say the Shegel is the queen mother. The queen mother. The king is Darius. The queen mother is Esther. Esther and her son give permission for Yerushalayim to be rebuilt. And you can hear rumbling in the distance as Ahasuerus is turning over in his grave. Three times he's able to say at Chatzi HaMalchus V'Teos, not the fourth, because by the fourth he already knows that Jews are on the march. Yirmiyahu was right. They are going to rise and rebuild. And it's only left for his son. Daryavesh was the son of Ahasuerus and Esther. And he gives permission for the construction. I have to start pulling together a lot of the strings. The brilliance of our rabbis. The brilliance of our rabbis. They had to commemorate the extra day that was given to Shushan. And Gemara asks, how did they commemorate it? So they said that any city that has a wall around it from the days of Yahushua, Bin Nun, celebrates on the 15th. So one of the Rishonim says, why did they choose the date of Yahushua Bin Nun? Why not the time, that time, the time of Mordechai and Esther? So he says, because Eretz Yisrael was destroyed at that time. You know what it would have meant? It would have meant that in Shushan, they would read the Megillah on the 15th. Yerushalayim had no wall around it, so they'd read on the 14th. Go one step further in history. You know what would have happened to the halacha of Shushan Purim? It would have ceased to exist because there is no Shushan. Do you know what's taking place in the Megillah? I called this year a tale of two cities. Just as there was a struggle in history between Rome and Yerushalayim, there's a struggle between Shushan and Yerushalayim. The king in Shushan will refuse to allow Yerushalayim to be rebuilt. Fast forward to our days. Shushan doesn't exist. And Yerushalayim. Traffic jams in Yerushalayim. You know how thrilled I am about traffic jams in Yerushalayim, as long as I don't get caught in them. That Rabbi Akiva would have been thrilled. The words of Zechariah, O Yeshu Zekeinim Zekeinos Berchovos Eshe Yerushalayim. Young people, old people, the streets will be teeming. Shushan was the nerve center of an entire world, a global metropolis. Yerushalayim was nothing, nothing. But you know what Chazal saw at the time of Mordechai and Esther? Oh, we're not going to make this Yontif of the 15th dependent on cities with a wall around them from the days of Yeshua bin of Mordechai and Esther from the days of Yeshua bin Nun, because you know what they knew, Beruach HaKodesh, or with their, just with their plain good healthy sense of history, they knew that the day is going to come that Shushan will disappear from the face of the earth. They knew that the day will come that Yerushalayim is going to be built L'tif Edet, because the Nevi'im said exactly that. If the Chachamim would have made the Yontif on the basis of the cities with walls around them, you know what would have happened to the halacha of the Chachamim? It would have disappeared. There would never have been any celebration in the world on the 15th. Eternity of Torah and eternity of Klal Yisrael, an eternity of the words of the rabbi, is linked directly to Yerushalayim. They knew that by saying
a place that has a wall around it from the days of Yeshua Ben-Nun, because they were certain that Yerushalayim would be rebuilt, and Yerushalayim would have a wall, and Yerushalayim had a wall in the days of Yehoshua Ben-Nun. What brilliance. What brilliance. Do you know what the coup de grace is? The final insult. We still call it Shushan Purim. We don't call it Purim of Yerushalayim. We call it Shushan Purim. Do you know what we're saying when we call it Shushan Purim? Shushan who? Is there a minion in Shushan reading the Megillah? No. There is no Shushan. Do you know what we're doing by calling it Shushan Purim? We are telling the story of the Ruach HaKodesh of Chazal and the beauty of Jewish history. Chain Yovdu Koloi Vecho Hashem. All the enemies of Israel of ancient days and of today will be destroyed utterly, and Yerushalayim will rise above it all. But Chazal saw it then. Chazal saw it. And then I asked one or two questions at the beginning. Why is it that if you go to another city and are there by the crack of dawn, in other words, your whole life you lived in Yerushalayim, Arangachat Amishagas, for the 14th of Adar, you go to Tel Aviv, and you're there by dawn, and you know what happened? This Yerushalmi, seven generations Yerushalmi, he's become a Tel Avivi. Because you know what the whole story of the Megillah is? Yeshua Hashem Kehedef Ayin. In an Augenblick, things change. Shushan there, Yerushalayim there. Oh, no, no. One day, Shushan there, Yerushalayim there. In Jewish history, the Nahapohu, the Megillah says, things change dramatically. Things change dramatically. You can become a Tel Aviv overnight. And you know what is the moment that determines it? The moment that determines it is the crack of dawn. Why does the crack of dawn determine it? So I just want you to read one more thing. Number 8. La Yehudim hoysa oira v'simcha v'sasoy v'yikar. Reb Chiya Rabba, this is a famous Gemara. Reb Chiya Rabba v'Reb Shimon ben Chalafta hoyu mahalchen v'derech. These two rabbis were going on the road. V'chozu, and they saw Ayelet HaShachar. They saw the beginning of dawn, the first crack of dawn. Sheboko Oro, whose light has begun to burst forth. Amale Rab Chiya, Rab Shimon, Rab Chiya said to Rab Shimon, Kachi Gidulosan Shel Yisrael, so is the greatness of Israel. There is a Yerushalmi in Masech the Brachos where it says, Kachi Gidulosan Shel Yisrael, so is the redemption of Israel. Kima Kima, a little by little, just as the dawn, first crack of light, gets lighter and lighter and lighter. The chol masha holechet, as time goes on, he rabav holeches, the light becomes greater. My timer, how do we know that that's the geul of Klal Yisrael? This famous Maimon Chazal, we learn it from the Megillah, because it says, first of all, in Micha it says, ki eishev b'choshech, when I'm sitting in the dark, Hashem orli, God is the light for me. Kach, so too. At first, Mordechai Yoshi B'Shan HaMelech, Mordechai is sitting, just another fellow at the gate of the king. Vayikach Haman then, wow, Vayikach Haman al-Vush, Haman took the garment and the horse and the crown, and he takes Mordechai, this Mordechai who had up until now been sitting at the gates of the king, they now take him through the streets of Shushan in a great parade. Kach HaYayos Elohim, so shall be done for the man Asher HaMelech, that the king wants to honor him. And then what happens after that? Afterwards it says in Megillah, Mordechai yotzam lefnei hamelech, and Mordechai went out before the king dressed in royal raiments and robes. That's one of the psukim that we say during the reading of Megillah. V'achakach, what happened after that? La Yehudim hoysa oira v'simcha v'sasoy v'yikar. The Megillah describes a process. The process. So ge'ulasan shi Yisrael is a process. Dawn represents the moment that speaks of Geulasan Shel Yisrael. Dawn is the moment at which Chazal said that the halacha is, if you're there at dawn, everything is changing. Because the example of Purim That example is the example of Geula, the redemption of Klal Yisrael throughout history. A tale of two cities. Ahasuerus is concerned throughout. Chas v'shalom. You can't let Yerushalayim be rebuilt. Who knows what will happen to the world if Yerushalayim is being rebuilt? And here we are, 2,500 years later. It's unbelievable. Lo yu'umam ki yisupar. But there's a note of caution. The note of caution is anybody who stops construction in Yerushalayim, beware. Beware. Chag Sameach, everybody. Chag Sameach. Sai, I will not be here next week or the week after. And next week, Rabbi Chaim Wasserman is going to say the shir, and the week following is going to be Rabbi Avi Baumel.
First I hear of it.